You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. On the show, we're going to be talking to Simon Hewitt-Averson of Homeless Oxfordshire, and we're really talking about a great local charity, but also a really, really important topic here in Oxfordshire. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio, and I hope you enjoyed that song. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking all about homelessness in Oxfordshire. And to do that, we're joined by Simon Hewitt-Averson of Homeless Oxfordshire. Simon, for those who don't know you, welcome. Tell them all about you and indeed Homeless Oxfordshire.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I'm Simon Hewitt-Averson. I'm Chief Exec here at Homeless Oxfordshire. We are a charity. We are a charity that works right across the county. And essentially, we provide homes and support to over 170 people who would otherwise be homeless. So we offer a range of accommodation and support depending on people's needs. And as an organisation, as a charity, we tend to focus on those people who perhaps have been let down by society time and time again, have multiple issues, and very sort of heavily work in the physical and mental health area of homelessness.
Amazing. No, thank you for that intro and thank you for the great work that you and the team do. Simon, the most difficult question for our guests is pretending to be a radio DJ for a moment, but you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the impending reunion tour of Oasis, I've got to go for an Oasis song, and I've picked Supersonic.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that very good song chosen by Simon, we heard about Simon and indeed Homeless Oxfordshire. So Simon, I want to start with a big question, if that's okay. And I hope this is an okay question to ask. Why is homelessness such a big issue? And what are the main challenges that lead to homelessness?
Homelessness is such a complex societal issue. If there was a quick and easy fix, we would have done it by now. I think what we're seeing at the moment is kind of a culmination of a perfect storm, really, of a number of things. We have been selling off and demolishing our social homes, our council houses, over the last 20, 25 years, and not been rebuilding at a rate that's been sufficient to keep up with demand. We're seeing greater and greater pressure on the health and social care systems as we sort of we age as a population. We see people coming into the area, and also more recently things like the war in Ukraine, COVID, all putting pressures on people's sort of living expenses. So the cost of living increases are also playing a part with that. Across Oxfordshire, the biggest reason we're seeing for homelessness at the moment is around people being evicted from their home. And again, there are a number of issues that are leading to those, you know, changes in legislation and policy, interest rates, you know, people getting out of the market. So there isn't a simple, quick and easy fix. It's a culmination of a whole load of things. And I suppose what we're doing at the moment is trying to navigate our way through there and providing the best possible service we can.
No, absolutely. And if we go right back to the start in terms of social housing, and again, really keen not to get political, but I guess that is alarming that we're selling off a lot of social housing and not building it quickly enough. Is there a solution to that? Is there light at the end of the tunnel that we're seeing?
So it is hard not to get political, because these are political choices that have been made over the last couple of decades. You know, we've seen a net loss of about 25 to 30,000 social homes every single year for the last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
It's predicted that we need to build, you know, in the region of 90,000 new social homes every year just to try and keep up with current demand. So we're way off meeting the current need. In this county, we meet about 10% of the social housing need, so a tiny proportion of those that need social homes. What we need is government, successive governments that stop thinking in short-term cycles and start planning for the longer term. And it's not just about what goes above the ground, I suppose. So the homes themselves, we need to think about infrastructure. You know, we need to think about schools, colleges, roads, sewage, water, the whole thing. So this is a long-term plan that's properly funded, but we've got to get building. I think there is hope. We had the pleasure recently of meeting Angela Rayner. And I think what we have now is a government and departments that are listening and are trying to set the house building back on track.
No, absolutely. And let's talk pre-homelessness, if that's okay. I think you rightly said that there isn't a one-size-fits-all, and there's so many reasons why somebody could lead to becoming homeless. And actually, I think that a study I was reading, and I can't remember the stat for the life of me, I should do, that the average person in Britain, I'm sure it was 1.5 pay packets away from becoming homeless or something along those lines. But I think regardless of the number, it is really scary. What are some of the things that people listening can do if they're worried about becoming homeless, or if they're worried about it being a possibility in days or weeks or months down the line? What's some of the things to think about there?
Yeah, so there's a few things there to unpack. So thinking about an individual or family at the moment, the local authority, the council is generally the place to start. And the sooner, the better. You know, local authorities do have legal duties when it comes to homelessness to try and prevent that homelessness wherever it is possible. So that might be working with your landlord, your housing association, whoever it might be, on a number of issues to try and prevent that homelessness in the first place. And as with so many things, prevention is always better than the crisis point. So the earlier we can intervene, the better. And again, this government here are looking at how we fund and better fund the prevention side of homelessness. So as an individual, if you are concerned, whether it's about money or the private rented home you're in, speaking to the local authority at the soonest possible point is key here. In terms of stats around homelessness, I'm always a little bit. There are many of us that are a long, long way away from being homeless. And I think this sometimes that sort of that narrative around, you know, it could be anyone stacks up to a certain extent. But there are a lot of us that are very privileged and are a long, long away from being homeless. There are factors that make people more likely to experience homelessness as well. And they exist across society as a lot of other kind of endearing problems that we have. So class, race, disability, these things are all risk factors in terms of homelessness. What we see in the majority of our residents is that so many of them have had, you know, horrific, traumatic childhoods, enduring mental and physical health issues because of that trauma, and then have turned to things like drugs and alcohol to try and cope with the pain and that sort of ongoing trauma that they're experiencing. So could it happen to anyone? Possibly. But we know that actually there are some people in society where this is more likely to occur.
No, absolutely. And one of the things that really stuck with me is I was kindly invited to visit you at Homeless Oxfordshire. And I think that going into O'Hanlon House, it's wonderful the work you do, but equally there's sad parts, isn't there? And I think one of the things that your colleague Tim really shared with us is that journey from somebody first taking that step in to somebody getting to the point where they're one of your staff and really turning their life around. Talk to me about the process of working with somebody that is homeless and really kind of that journey. And I appreciate there isn't a one size fits all, but I think our listeners would find it really fascinating some of the amazing work you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, thanks. We tailor our support, I suppose. So everyone's going to have a slightly different experience or a different route out of homelessness, I suppose. And we're really proud here at Homeless Oxfordshire that, 30 to 40% of our staff have lived the experience of either homelessness or addiction themselves, which just brings, a level of empathy, and understanding to the work we do. For many, our support teams will be helping them with things like medical appointments, medication, making sure they are getting access to the support, treatment, medical care that they might be entitled to, but again, so often are either discriminated against or don't fit neatly into a box of a 10-minute appointment, and if you miss it, you're kind of off the list. That type of approach. So we spend a lot of time working with and advocating alongside our residents around physical and mental health. It could be about getting them engaged with, so Turning Point, our local drug and alcohol service, making sure that they're engaged with them. Or it could be things around sort of money matters, trying to open a bank account if you haven't got a permanent address, it can be near on impossible. Liaising with DWP or benefits teams, to make sure they're receiving all the income they should as well. So it's very varied. No one day, 2 days are the same. But our team just go above and beyond, really do try and try again. We never give up on anyone. And for some people, they might need three, four, five times around this sort of merry-go-round, if you like, before something sticks or they find themselves in the right position to make a positive choice for themselves. And we often talk about, walking alongside someone, holding the hope for someone until they're ready to kind of make that change themselves.
No, absolutely. And do you know what? I think that really came through when visiting. And I think that it takes a certain type of person, doesn't it, to be able to have that strength and that sheer kindness to be able to work across with some of the people who really, really need it. Do you think that's a fair word to use? And can you just share what O'Hanlon House is like? Because I don't I think you could probably do a much better job than I. But I think when coming in, I think that, outside, I feel like it feels very different to inside. And I think the team seems so united in terms of that sheer kindness and that sheer desire. Share that with those listening. I think it's harder to do with words, isn't it, than with sight. But yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think first of all, it is tough. Like, it's really tough. You've got to want to work in this sector. You've got to want to work with the residents that we have. I think there is that perception of the charity sector being all nice and fluffy and sort of, cups of tea and this, that, and the other. A 12-hour shift at O'Hanlon House can be really, really tough. You do need to be resilient. We can put all the support in place for our staff as we do, but you still take on some of that trauma that those individuals are facing. And when they're retelling their story, our staff have to be resilient enough to be able to manage and cope with that. So that is tough. It can be really, really tough. I think what we try and do is bring that kind of light, that fun, that sort of sense of humour, that sort of never-ending sort of, it's a resilience to sort of help people understand that things can change. There is always a potential for things to be different. O'Hanlon House itself is our largest property, so we have 54 beds here, all en suite. And this is often people's kind of first step into the sort of homeless pathway, if you like. So that kind of emergency off-street provision. It's staffed 24 hours a day, so we can accommodate some of the most at-risk or vulnerable adults we have in the county, those that need that sort of wraparound 24-hour support to keep them safe and to keep others safe. So it can be an intense, tough place to work. And I suppose that's probably something to get across to listeners, just actually how rewarding but how tough this career can be.
No, absolutely. No, really, really, really important to stress. Simon, thank you so much for your thoughts so far. Let's continue the conversation after this.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Our business breakfasts start from just £15. Find out more at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, We're joined today by Simon Hugh-Averson of Homeless Oxfordshire, who's kindly agreed to join us to really give an insight to a wonderful Oxfordshire charity, but also a really important topic that is impacting the lives of so many here in Oxfordshire and beyond. Simon, a campaign that you're doing at the moment is your women's campaign, which I think's really during your business breakfast really stuck with me. Mm. Can you share more details about that campaign and the reasons behind it and what you're looking to achieve?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Her Way Home is our campaign to raise awareness and funds to expand our provision for women. I think we've known for some time that we're not doing enough, all that we could be for women that are experiencing homelessness. And women do experience homelessness differently often to men, often more at risk when rough sleeping, will often stay in abusive relationships longer because there is somewhere to stay, and often are sort of, you know, preyed upon, if you like, whilst they are rough sleeping. So the campaign is to raise funds to purchase a lovely home for some of our female residents. It's to provide that ongoing support around mental, physical health, their drug and alcohol needs, looking at counselling for what might be sort of historic childhood abuse or trauma. So I suppose what it is, it's we're trying to wrap a holistic service around some of the most vulnerable at-risk women that we work with across the county. We've recently launched it. It's going well. We've seen some amazing support from the local communities, individuals, businesses. And if you want to find out a little bit more, you know, you can search on our website. The campaign's there on the homepage, so easy to find.
No, absolutely. No, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And just continuing with that support, a two-sided question, if that's okay. What can the person listening to this show now at home or at work, what can they do to support homeless Oxfordshire or indeed homelessness in Oxfordshire? What can they do from small to large?
Yeah, so starting with us, I suppose, as an organisation, there's a number of ways that people can get involved, whether they're an individual or a business, or perhaps a school or a college. You know, get a lot of really great support from some of the local schools and colleges. Again, most of this information, if you search Homeless Oxfordshire on the web, you'll be able to find it on our website. But, you know, we have a lot of running events, right, small and large, run cycles. We're increasing the range of volunteering opportunities so people can either work directly with some of our residents on sort of support based activities, perhaps get involved in some of the sort of ongoing refurbishments of properties, that sort of thing. From a business corporate perspective, we have a corporate membership club, which gets you access to some of the business sort of breakfasts. We run a golf day every year, things like that. So, you know, I suppose becoming more of a part of the Homeless Oxfordshire kind of corporate family, if you like, as well as being able to network with other local businesses as well, which is great. And again, schools and colleges, we see a lot of bake sales, a lot of sort of sponsored events. There's a huge number of ways in which you can get involved with Homeless Oxfordshire. I think one of the questions we get asked a lot is, you know, should I give money to someone who's rough sleeping? And, you know, I kind of always throw it back to the individual in terms of what you consider right and appropriate at that time. But what I would say is just take a moment to engage, talk to someone. You know, all of us need that sort of moment of kindness to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel like a person again. And we so often dehumanize people who are homeless or are rough sleeping. So if you've got the time, just stop and ask, you know, what might be, you know, beneficial, sandwich, something to eat or drink. You know, don't assume. I think one thing I've learned here in the last 2.5 years is that there are so many individual stories behind the statistics, behind the people that we talk about. And everyone's story is different and unique. You know, from we've had international pianists stay with us. We've had people who, you know, veterans, been in the army, the armed forces, people that are sleeping in their cars, but once owned, you know, a whole number of properties. So it really, like, people's stories are so, so different. So I would just say, just take the time to engage. And it might be that you're the only person that individual speaks to that day.
Absolutely. At one of your business breakfasts, somebody in a conversation said, just imagine being cold and homeless and hundreds of people walking past you and nobody making eye contact, and you know what, that sentence just really sits. It's really really important to consider. Simon, I'm keen to bring this towards business, if that's okay, because I think one of the ways that we started the show was talking about the housing crisis, talking about that there is a real problem here. And I think that you guys as a charity punch well above your weight in terms of the properties you hold, the impact you make to so many. How do you achieve that? What are some of the principles that you do, and like where do you get your help?
We are a charity, but we have to look at this very commercially. You know, we can't afford to be losing money to support sort of contracts or properties that are making a significant loss. You know, we would essentially go out of business in that sense very, very quickly. So we do have to do a few things very commercially from a property perspective. You know, get the best value out of the properties that we've got, work very hard with local authorities and landlords in doing that. And we're lucky we've got a great team in place that kind of lead on that work for us. I think what we've started doing now with some of our local businesses, cash is always king and donations are always welcome, but actually there's a huge amount of talent, expertise and experience in the commercial sector that, you know, we don't have huge marketing teams, we don't have content creators, we don't have all these other things that some businesses might have. So legal support, another good example. So we've started leaning on some of our sort of business friends, if you like, for some of that in-house experience, that expertise that perhaps we can call upon. We had a lovely animation that's still on our website, produced by a design and brand agency a year or so ago, just telling the story of one of our members of staff. You know, we could never have afforded to put an animation together, but it's those sorts of gifts that are invaluable for us, you know, beyond the cash.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Simon, thank you so much for your thoughts so far. We'll continue your conversation after this.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is The Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, I'm joined today by Simon Hewitt-Averson of Homeless Oxfordshire, who are a wonderful local charity who are supporting homelessness here in Oxfordshire and making such an impact to so many. Already today, we've spoken about the housing crisis. We've spoken about how you at home or in your business can support such a wonderful charity, but also such an impact. And really kind of something that Simon touched on before that break was a charity needs to run like a business. And Simon, I'm really keen to build on that point, if that's okay, because I think that so regularly throughout this show, we see individuals who are kind and want to make an impact and set up as a charity. And I think the stats, and I know we've got to be careful not just talk about stats, but 50% of charities that are set up don't go past a year. Why do you believe that is? Because everybody sets up wanting to do good, but it's important to run like a business behind it. So just talk to me about some of the good principles and your thoughts on I guess that stat that I've used.
So running a charity definitely isn't a walk in the park. And I think like any business, you know, you've got to have a model that works both from our perspective for a social impact. You know, that's our primary purpose, is to do good in the world, in society, in our community. But if it doesn't stack up financially, we're not going to be around very long. So we need to be thinking about how we commercialize, want a better term, that business model, so that we can, you know, we can forecast 2, 3, 5 years into the future to ensure that we're still going to be here providing the support that we need to provide. I think just like business, you've got to hire well, you've got to have good people around you. And I think the thing that I've learned the most over the years, and certainly in the last 2.5 years as chief exec here, is that you've got to wear a myriad of hats. So, you know, I'll be going from a serious safeguarding incident one moment to a charity golf day the next, to thinking about social media posts, to then having conversations about property and refurbishment. So, you know, you've got to wear a lot of hats all in one day and be comfortable with and trust that team you've got around you.
No, absolutely. And I think you've really hit the nail on the head there in terms of working within the charity sector. You do need to wear a lot of hats. For those listening at home who are potentially considering going into the charity sector, what would be your advice there?
Do it. It's a great sector to be part of. I think, you know, I've worked with some of the most amazing humans imaginable. Volunteering is a great way to dip your toe in the water if you're just not sure, and if you're still, you know, you're working alongside, you know, our organisation, as do a lot of charities, have great volunteering opportunities, just so you get a sense, because, you know, it won't be for everyone. You know, I think mentioned it, it's a tough sector to work in. So, you know, it certainly won't be for everyone. But and I would also say, don't be discouraged if you haven't ever worked in the charity sector before. I think some of the best people I've worked with have perhaps come from business and bought that sort of mentality or thinking with them, or come from different sectors. At Homeless Oxfordshire, actually, we've employed lots of people that don't have a housing or homelessness background, because that diversity of thought is crucial. You know, keep asking why. So I would say, don't be put off if you don't have that experience. Find a route in, whether it's a friend or someone you know. Try the volunteering route to get that experience, and then have a go at it, because I think, yeah, most people will be really pleased.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We are coming towards the final stint of the show, and one of the things that, or two of the things I'm keen to do before the end of the show is really be practical. So for those who are listening at home right now, you know, our audience is predominantly business owners. Yeah. What would be your advice to them? What could they take away from the show? What would be their, I guess, what would you like to say to them as their takeaway in terms of how they can impact?
So first of all, I'd love a conversation. I think that's where all these things start. You know, it's about building relationships and seeing where things go. Some of our best relationships, projects, partnerships have come from just a little seed of an idea, a gem of an idea. We're about to launch some work with Raw Social Enterprise.
Amazing.
Ray Lees, you know, just an amazing organization, which just sparked from a conversation Rick and I had about a year ago. You know, so pick up the phone, drop us an email, get in touch through the website. Let's have a conversation. Let's see what's possible. And let's go from there.
No, amazing. You've mentioned Rick. Rick was previously on the show, and it's a really, really great show. So if you are listening and you would like to catch that show, do go and listen back, because again, another wonderful, great organization. And then I think the final piece really is just about that transition, really. So we spoke before about moving from the charity sector to business, from business to charity. And I'm really keen to give advice to businesses, because I think that one of the things you touched on earlier is about wearing the many hats. You spoke about being resourceful. It's hard running a charity, isn't it?
Yeah.
What could some of the businesses listening learn from Homeless Oxfordshire or other great charities?
I think I've noticed a bit of a trend, I suppose, over the last maybe 10, 15 years I've been in the sector, where business and charity are coming closer together. You're seeing more businesses, so certainly large businesses with charitable foundations or charitable arms. You know, CSR is mainstreamed. You know, people are looking at different ways of having, you know, a social impact, because that's what customers are driving. You know, it's not just good enough to provide a good product anymore. People want to know what else you're doing behind that, and whether that's not doing harm or actually how you're doing good. So I think, again, we can help, we can support businesses with that social impact side of things if you want to work and partner with us. So, you know, I think that we'll see a world in another 10, 15, 20 years time where the two are almost indistinguishable in terms of charity, commercial business, social impact, social goods. You know, we're all going to have to come together and think differently about how we tackle, you know, issues like homelessness and other things around us that are just complex and are only going to get worse.
No, absolutely. No, really, really, really good advice. Really, really good advice. Simon, thank you. We are absolutely on the final stint of the show, and I feel like I've really questioned you, particularly at the end in terms of top tips. But I think that my final piece, really, and it could definitely be something that we've spoken about already. It could be something completely new. But what would be your lasting message if you could just leave one tip to the people listening at home that you would like them to remember, or something I've not asked you that you would like to give a plug on the radio? What's your last message?
Well, I'm going to be cheeky and ask for two. So definitely go and check out our campaign, Get Her Way Home. You know, we need the support of the local community to get behind this, because, you know, we want to provide an amazing service for women that are experiencing homelessness. And then secondly, I would ask people to remain curious and not make assumptions. You know, we're all different. We all have unique backgrounds and stories. And just because someone is asking for money or you see them rough sleeping, don't assume. If you've got time and you feel comfortable doing so, have a chat with someone. It can really make their day.
No, really good advice. Simon, thank you so much. That is the end of the show. So thank you so much to Simon for joining us on the Business Brunch on Get Radio today. And please, please, please do take Simon's advice. Do follow Simon. Do reach out to Simon and the team at Homeless Oxygen and do follow their great work as it is really, really important here in Oxfordshire. Just a reminder, we are going to be back next week with some brand new guests. And next week, we're going to be talking about how to look after owner-managed male business owners. A little bit of a mouthful there. And to do that, we're joined by Rebecca Lisi of Rebecca Lisi Therapy. So definitely going to be a good one. Just finally, a reminder, you can listen to this radio show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. Do look out for the podcast version, which is available on any major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you'd like to see my lovely guests, do look out for the video version on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing here in Oxfordshire, do enjoy, and we'll see you next week.